الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. A few weeks back, we had our Maintaining Mental Health seminar. And in that seminar, we shared several points. And one of the points that we discussed was that it's very important for the believer to always keep things in perspective. And perspective is a very, very broad term. But You can look at this term from many different angles. You know, from one angle, you see that when we live in the world, we get very caught up in ourselves. We're very caught up in ourselves. We create this microcosm of things that are going on in our world, and we make the assumption that that's all that exists. My problems, what's going on in my life, what I ate, are the people that I'm close to healthy? Am I healthy? Are the people that I'm close to healthy? And you see that the deen teaches us to broaden that perspective so that it's not about me, it's about everyone. I have to be concerned. Not only did I eat, but did my neighbor eat? I have to be concerned. Not only am I thriving, but are the people around me thriving? And essentially what that is that's a broadening of perspective. Yes, it's really important to me that my children do well. And, you know, you ask any parent how much concern they have for their children to succeed in this life and the next. But the question is, do we take that same feeling that we have and break our perspective and expand that beyond ourselves to everybody around us? Meaning, I may just desire for my child to be healthy and happy, but why don't I have that same desire for every child to be healthy and happy? And I might be concerned about the future of my children, but am I concerned about the future of all children? And that's really just a perspective issue. Now, we would not be who we are today if there weren't a group of people before us that were able to break the mold of self or nafs and to expand their perspective beyond themselves. Deen came to us because people before us sacrificed. Don't you think that they had families and they weren't concerned about their families and they weren't concerned about the success of their families? Don't you think that they had wealth and they didn't desire to hold on to that wealth, thinking if I give this wealth or if I spend this wealth in the path of Allah, then where will food come from the next day? Or how will I be able to give a, you know, quote unquote, massive inheritance to my children? They were the same like us. They had the same feelings. They had the same concerns. They had the same aspirations. But what differed and what allowed them to be able to go beyond themselves was that they had a very broad perspective from two angles. One, they recognized that every concern that they had for themselves was equally relevant for everybody around them. They knew that that was deen. That on the day of judgment, they wouldn't be asked about what they ate, but they would be asked about whether everyone ate. So that was one sort of angle that they saw things from. And the second, they appreciated that success is not success in this life. That the success actually is success in the hereafter. And the only way to achieve success in the hereafter is to eliminate oneself from the equation and instead to make everyone into, to bring everyone into that perspective that would apply to oneself. Now, of course, that's all predicated upon the first generation. The Prophet alayhi salam was so concerned about everyone around him. He was so concerned about everyone around him that he, as we mentioned also a few weeks ago, that he was literally constantly worried about how he could convince the kuffar to take Islam. Meaning, he was concerned about himself, he was concerned about his family, he was concerned about the Muslims, but he was even concerned about the kuffar. Now, you know, some people, nobody in this room, none of us in this room, can know what it means to die of worry, to have a feeling of impending doom based on worry of what's going to happen with our neighbors. People have it for themselves. Like, oh my God, I have such a big exam. Please make dua for me. Oh my God, I'm trying to get into this one school. Please make dua for me. Oh my God, I just applied for this job. I have an interview. Please make dua for me. It's always this impending feeling of doom about ourselves. That's the doom that we experience. The Prophet ﷺ is feeling an impending, experiencing an impending feel of doom. He says it's as if he's going to destroy himself. For whom? Not because of the worry that he had for himself, although he's crying on the musalla. Not because of the worry that he had for his family, because of the worry that he had for the kuffar who were persecuting him. They were actually persecuting him, and he has such a concern for them that he is just dying to bring them to Islam, and this is what keeps him up at night. And it's not even the companions or the family members that are saying that he had this feeling. You know, it'd be one thing if his wife says he had this feeling, or his relatives say he has this feeling, or the other people around him say he has this feeling. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledges this feeling of the Prophet ﷺ and mentions it in the Quran for us to read until the Day of Judgment, for us to appreciate until the Day of Judgment. Now that type of feeling, that extent of perspective, we stand on that foundation today. We stand on that foundation of this broad perspective today. It's the only reason we are who we are. No one in this room can stand up and say that they earned their Islam. No, not at all. Not at all. The people before us forgot about themselves. They put others before their own needs. They sacrificed their time, their wealth, their energy, their dreams, their desires, their aspirations. They put it all on the line to ensure that the next generation and the next group of people would be brought into this fold of Islam. No way we would have this otherwise, except the sacrifices of the people that came before. And look at our perspective. The biggest concern is, I got a blue cupcake, I wanted a pink cupcake. I wanted this ice cream. Can you believe they showed it on the advertisement, but they were sold out? Who do they think they are? Why didn't they change the advertisement? Like, that's the biggest concern. Like, we're fighting with the manager at Oberweis Ice Cream because they don't have the flavor that we wanted, but they left it on the menu. That's so important. It's a complete loss of perspective. It's a complete loss of perspective. And the people before us, they appreciated, you know, from this other dimension that I was speaking about, they appreciated that there's no success in this life. That the only success is in the hereafter, and their perspective was also very, very straight in this regard. Now, our perspective is my success is what I drive, my bank account, my degree, what I wear, where I live. Like, this is supposed to be success. This is not success. This is the illusion of success. This is the illusion of success, which lulls a person into laziness and sleep because they think for a moment that they've achieved something. When the reality is that it's all a mirage and an illusion. It is not lasting. It has no reality. It is not a sign that we've been blessed. The only way it becomes something real is if it is sacrificed for the sake of Allah. Then and only then does the perspective become real. But no, like we're caught up in this, you know, I ate, I drove, I went, I have, I got my degree from here, I. The reality of this deen is that it is about, you know, from you can summarize this deen in a few words sometimes. This is one of the simple words that just summarizes deen, perspective. Just to open one's perspective, to recognize the reality of where we are, to recognize where our emotions and concerns need to lie. And this is a challenge that we all face, and this is one of the greatest gifts of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Qur'an, the dhikr that we do, the prayers that we pray, the dua that we make, the gatherings that we hold. This is what we're constantly reminding one another of. You know, it's so funny, like, life is so complicated, but you always come back to the same basic things. Literally yesterday, 3-4 days ago, someone wrote me an email saying that, you know, this is one of the things that his teacher always says, that everything returns to its original state. And that's exactly what it is. You know, you look at life, and life is so, we claim life to be so complicated, but you know, it's very simple. It's the same things you learn when you're 3. Like, say, it's like, be nice, say please, say thank you, appreciate what you've been given, don't take somebody else's things, return whatever you took. Like, these are all the basic principles that if just any adult would practice, or if all the adults would practice, we would all be in good shape. It's really the fundamental tenets of deen are just basically just put things where they belong, don't put things where they don't belong. And, you know, that includes yourself, your soul, your eyes, your ears, your feet, etc. This is the, you know, we want to make things so complicated. You know, like, we need this very, very, very complicated principles and complicated talks and complicated gatherings. And the same basic fundamental principles, they all return to the same thing anyway. Like, that's what it is. When a person's praying, it's just a reset of perspective. Person gets out of their little bubble of me, 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 and starts by just saying, Allahu Akbar. Allah is bigger than anything that I'm pursuing. Allah is bigger than anything I can imagine. Allah's reward is bigger than anything that I can earn. And then a person just resets and resets their perspective. And then what happens? They move through the day. Maybe they make a dua when they enter the masjid or when they leave the home or before they eat or, you know, or again, when they return to salah. But everything is just a resetting of perspective. You know, I'm eating, but this food didn't come from me. This came from Allah. And this is a test. What am I eating? And when I'm eating, I have hunger, but do I appreciate that the rest of the world could be hungry? Have I thought? And maybe, you know, at the least, have I even appreciated that this food is from Allah? We don't even have time for that anymore. Just to think about saying Bismillah. If the food's hot, it's going to get cold. We can't even think about saying Bismillah because it's going to get cold in, you know, the 10 seconds it would take to say Bismillah. Everything is perspective. Everything. Much of the things that we talk about, it's just a resetting of perspective. And why am I raising this today? Because when we sit here and do the dhikr of Allah, when we sit here and do the dhikr of Allah, that is an opening of perspective. People sometimes ask, how do I know I'm doing my dhikr correctly? It's not like you have to have a checklist of things that if I did this and this and this and this and this, then my dhikr was done correctly. There's no fiqh of dhikr. There's no chapter fiqh of dhikr. No book fiqh of dhikr. There's no fiqh that you have to follow some legal thing. It's if a person sits down and just clears their mind of themselves and their constricted view on what's going on around them and erases themselves and plugs themselves into the ultimate reality of Allah, and they see that this has an effect on the way they behave. It changes their perspective. It puts into focus the hereafter instead of the life of this world. And it puts into the focus the opportunity that exists in our interaction with the people around us. And it puts into focus where we make mistakes and where we transgress and where we can improve the deeds that we do, then that's the sign that the dhikr is actually achieving its effect. Not, I sat and I did this and I did this and I did this and I did this, and so therefore this checklist is fulfilled, and so therefore the dhikr is done. That's not the sign that dhikr has occurred. Fine. It's the sign that the container in which dhikr can occur has been established, but it's not the sign that the person has achieved the goal of what they were sitting for. Dhikr is a resetting of perspective. It's an appreciation of the fact that I am nothing and Allah is all. And that's what dua is as well, by the way. That I am nothing, I am absolutely powerless, and Allah is all. And there's only one place to turn. I can honestly talk about perspective for hours. There's many, many, many things to talk about perspective. And honestly, when I started this talk, I was talking, I'm going to go into something else, and now I don't have time to talk about that. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. But the simple summary for today is that we are a people of perspective, particularly because we recognize that we would not be people of perspective if it wasn't for the perspective of the people before us. It's kind of a tongue twister. If it wasn't for the perspective of the people before us, if they weren't awakened to the reality of the world that existed around them, if they didn't make the sacrifices of knocking on the doors and meeting with the people and teaching everyone they could about the basic goodness of Islam, we wouldn't be who we are. We wouldn't be who we are. And subhanAllah, just think for a moment what that would be like. What would that be like if I was sitting and caught up in dunya, or na'udhu billah, worshipping multiple gods, or na'udhu billah, denying the existence of the creator of the entire universe who feeds me, clothes me, guides me, establishes everything that I stand upon? Where would we be? Where would we be? Even just any common sense human being would appreciate that that I am dependent upon something before me, and so therefore I have a responsibility to fulfill what those people, what aspiration they had. That's the sign of success. That's the sign of perspective. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to appreciate the reality from where we came, and may He make us amongst those who are able to extend that reality so that it encompasses those who come after us. وَآخُرُ تَعْوَانَ أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ